Turn in our Bibles, if we would, this afternoon. Try to get in mind of where we're at here in the afternoon. Usually it's morning or evening, but in the afternoon here. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. And I was speaking with Brother Cole about what the fellowship was about, what the theme was. And I know the theme was revival. And I began to think about some things. I shared this with our people, and I got to thinking, you know what? This is something we really could use as pastors. Sometimes we've been in the ministry long enough, and we get to a point where we kind of feel like we've got it all figured out. I haven't come to that point yet. I'm looking forward to it, but I don't think I'll ever get there until the Lord comes back. But I'd like to have a few more things figured out. But I began to think about this, and as we think about King Rehoboam, and I want to share just a story about him and share a few things about seeking wise counsel. Seeking wise counsel. I know we like to preach this to our own people and say, need to seek wise counsel. Rehoboam had a chance here as king to seek wise counsel, and he did not do it. All right, we're going to look at this counsel just for a moment that he sought, and I want to encourage you with some things here as preachers, evangelists, and missionaries to make sure that we're doing in our lives. And so we'll start here in verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 12. The Bible says, "And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation in Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye, that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter. And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lay up you with a heavy burden, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, and as the king had appointed, saying, Come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time today. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak through me. Lord, give me the words that you'd have me to speak, Lord, to these men. And Father, as a young preacher, there's nothing within me that I have to offer these folks. Father, if I were to speak myself, we'd just be better off just sitting here, not even listening and not even saying a word. But Father, I know that you're with me, and Father, I thank you for that. And I just pray in a special way you'd give me the words that, Father, they'd be your words. And Lord, that you would be uplifted and honored. And Lord, today that we would be challenged and encouraged as pastors and as ministers of the gospel. Father, as servants. So, Father, have your will and your way in all that's done today. I thank you for the wonderful message we've heard, the great challenge already from the Word of God, and the zeal and the desire that we need to have as Christians. And Father, such a good message. I thank you for it. I pray that you'd be with the other preachers today, and it's all that's done. Have your will and your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jeremy, I appreciate that message this morning. And in fact, it was so good, I wrote over top of my notes. So if I happen, no, I'm just kidding. I didn't. It was a good message, though. Very great challenge. But when we think about this here this morning or this afternoon about seeking wise counsel, Jeroboam, you know, was the king there. Rehoboam was the king, and he had the opportunity as the king to be a leader. God has put you and I in positions of authority and leadership. And I thank God for that. If there's one thing I could never imagine myself being, it would have been a leader. But God has put me in a leadership position. But in that, there's a great responsibility. There's a great responsibility. And King Rehoboam had the opportunity to be that leader and to make the right decisions. And in that position, and we have the opportunity to make the right decisions, we must seek wise counsel. And he begins, I want you to think about, first of all, the counsel that of the old men that Rehoboam seeks. He begins to seek counsel of the old men, we find out here in verse 4, the Bible says, "Thy father made our yoke grievous, now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee." So the people come before Rehoboam and say, "Listen, we want you to make the yoke easier and lighter upon us, and make it easier so we can serve you and serve God and do the things that we need to do." In verse 6, the Bible says, King Rehoboam consulted with the old men. I will give him credit for that. He sought with the old men. He sought with the men that had been there before. He does something what I would consider being very, very smart, pretty intelligent. He goes to men who had stood before his father Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. He goes to some men and he says, "What would you suggest that I do?" He at least seeks counsel. Now, we know he eventually goes in the wrong direction and follows the wrong counsel, but he at least seeks the right counsel to begin here, or at least part of that counsel, when he seeks the old men. I thank God for good, godly men of God, preachers that have been preaching the Word of God for many, many years that have been an encouragement to me going into the ministry. I thank God for my pastor back home in Millersburg, Ohio, just a little town, little Amish country town, and not a whole lot of people there, a small congregation, but a good godly man who's been there for many years. I went to him and sought some counsel. I said, "Pastor, I feel like the Lord's calling me into the ministry, calling me to pastor." And he said, "Well, why don't you just pray about it and seek the Lord?" I said, "Well, I already have." And he said, "That's great." And he'd pray with me and we sought the Lord together. And he gave me some good wise counsel going in the ministry. He didn't candy coat it. He didn't say it was going to be perfect. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't say everything was going to work out exactly the way you want. But I had to seek that wise counsel. I thank God for wise counsel here. People like Brother Alquist that has encouraged me along the way and challenged me. And things that Brother Alquist, you've told me some things, and it just rings in my mind each and every day. And I thank God for folks. I'm not saying you're old, Brother Alquist, all right? I'm just saying I thank God for wise counsel. These men have been in the ministry as long as I've been saved, folks. I mean, let's just be honest. And it's kind of interesting sometimes getting up Sunday morning and preaching to men that have been serving God longer than I've been alive. But yet God's called me to preach. And I thank him for that. And if we think about this wise counsel that Rehoboam seeks, and they give him the advice here. It says, "Listen, we have stood before your father," and it says there in verse 7, it says, "And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever." You talk about some good advice. And preachers, can I share with you, and ministers today, can I share with you this afternoon? Listen, if you want to be the best preacher and the best minister that you can be, you're going to have to learn to be a servant. He says, listen, if you will serve these people, listen, if you'll just serve these people. So many times we get young preacher kids out of college, and boy, they just want to jump right in the ministry, and they want to be served themselves. They want everything done for them. They want everything. They want a job that pays $40,000, and they want a brand new car, and they want a house paid for. It don't work that way. Listen, you're going to have to be a servant first. You're going to have to learn to serve God, and those things will come. God will bless, trust me. But you're going to have to be a servant. And the wise counsel says, listen, you learn to serve those people. Learn to listen to them. Folks, preachers, learn to listen to your people. Now, I'm not saying you take every amount of advice, but listen to them. They have needs. They have things that they understand. They've been around. Listen, I like listening to people like Brother Paul Seymour, Brother Audrin's brother. Man, he gives me good advice. He's been there. He's been in the church since it began for 32 years. Next week, this Sunday, we're going to be celebrating our 32nd year at Southside Baptist Church. You know what's ironic about that? I just happen to be 32 years old this year. I'm about 2 months older than this church. Isn't that good? God is good. 32 years that church has stood on the Word of God. Hadn't been perfect. They haven't made all the right decisions. Sometimes things maybe didn't go the right direction. But can I tell you this? They've stood on this book. The blessed old King James. I thank God for it. I'm going to tell you, there is some wise counsel that we get from our people. Listen, learn to listen to your people. They know, they understand. Listen, when I came to Erie, Pennsylvania, I had no clue what this was like. Listen, I had no clue what it was like to live in a snow belt, basically. I had no clue. The first time I came up to Erie, Pennsylvania was to preach the first time at Southside Baptist Church. And I came up, I believe it was, when was it, Danny, February 4th? What a wonderful time to come to Erie, Pennsylvania, February 4th. And I come, and we look out, man, there's like 26 inches of snow sitting on the ground. I mean, it had been piled up for a little while, but that was in the yards. People's yards were like 2 feet deep. I ain't seen 2 feet of snow in my lifetime when I was back in Ohio, you know, and it's not that far away. But I come, and I got ready to preach, and we were preparing. I come in on Saturday night, and Brother Fuller and his family had a meal for me, and boy, it was exciting. I got to meet some people and got to see the church and what was going on there at the church. And boy, I got up on Sunday morning, and actually to back up, on Saturday night, my wife and I, we looked outside, and man, was it cold. It was about the coldest night that year in Erie, Pennsylvania. It was about minus 10 that night. I kid you not, it was minus 10. I had with the wind chill and everything, it was freezing. And I looked out there, we stayed up in the prophet's chamber at Southside. I looked out the window and I looked over at the gas station right across from the prophet's chamber, and I seen the lights, you know, the light poles, and they're going like this. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. I get up on Sunday morning and I'm ready to go, ready to preach, you know, I'm all excited. Thinking, man, this is going to be a good day. I get up, I go outside, and man, was it cold. I went outside and I thought, you know what, I probably better brush some of the snow off my car so I can get woke up and get going for the day. And went out to my car and stuck the key in my car. I thought, you know what, it was awful cold last night. I better just try to start it. Finally, it started over. I'll tell you, sometimes in the ministry and sometimes in positions of leadership, you get put in some interesting situations. Yeah. We need to seek wise counsel. I talked to the men of the church, and boy, they've been a blessing to me. And listen, these men give Rehoboam some wise counsel and say, listen, if you just learn to serve your people, be a servant. I love our church. This is probably the opposite of 99.9% churches today, but our church, our women don't do the cooking. Our men do the cooking. Not only do our men do the cooking, but our men do the serving. I'm going to tell you what, that'll humble you. I thank God for that. When I came, I said, what in the world is going on, honey? These men are doing all the serving. They're doing all the cooking. Why? Listen, they're servants. Amen. You know what? I've got some men in my church that they're the last people that'll eat. They're the last people that'll take anything. Listen, if you want to be a preacher, you want to learn how to be a pastor. Yes. And that's what I'm learning. I'm learning to try to be a servant. Yes. God, help me to be a servant. Help me to be a servant. Rehoboam should have listened to this counsel. Listen, if you just serve your people, serve them. God didn't call you to be a dictator. God didn't call you to jump up there and just tell this person to jump and that person to jump. And thank God for people in the church that will do that. But you preachers will vouch for there. Not very many are there. And boy, you just point and they jump. But I have a few in my church. I thank God for them. But listen, this wise counsel was given, and he says, listen, serve the people. If you just serve them and learn to treat them right and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. There was a great man that just passed away this week. I don't know a whole lot about him. I just, everybody that talks about him, most of you know the Wizard of Westwood, John Wooden. He passed away. And, you know, I believe that John Wooden, there's many things about him. You may have some bad things, I don't know, but I've never heard anybody say anything bad about that guy. He was 99 years old. He was a coach for UCLA. They won all kinds of championships. But listen, that guy, his players loved him because he served them. And he taught them and he trained them. He was there for them. And most of those players, before John Wooden passed away, they went into that hospital room before he died. They loved him, and they cared for him because he was there for them. And that's what you and I need to do. You say, well, that maybe is a worldly person. Well, listen, we can learn from that. We can learn from that. We learn to serve our people. Learn to serve others. I'm going to tell you what, they'll learn to serve us. And they'll serve God, don't get me wrong there, but they'll learn to serve. And they'll be right behind you. They'll say, "Preacher, if you want me to run through that brick wall, I'll run through it. Because you served them." And listen, they give them good advice, good counsel. But we know that he rejects it here in a little bit. And then Rehoboam says, "You know what? Just wait a few days and we'll take care of it. We'll get back together, but I want to speak to the young men." So we see, first of all, the counsel of the old men. Secondly, we see the counsel of the young men. Verse 8 says this, "But he forsook the counsel of the old men." We see young people coming out of college, just getting ready for ministry, and boy, they'll hear something from an older preacher, and they'll just forsake it, and they'll go their own way. We say, why didn't you just listen? Later on, they find themselves into a whole lot of trouble, a whole mess, a deep mess. But yet here, Rehoboam seeks this counsel of the young men. He forsook the counsel of the old men that they had given him and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, his peers, which stood before him. And he said unto them, "What counsel give ye, that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter?" And the young men that were grown up with him, in verse 10, the Bible says, spake unto him, saying, "Thus shalt thou speak unto this people, that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. Now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father had chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." And I tell you that now he goes before the young men. We see the counsel of the old men. They were wise. They had been there. They had experience. Experience is impossible to replace. I thank God for the experience that you men in this room have. I'm going to tell you, if there's some other young preachers in here or young teenagers or young children thinking about going into the ministry, you seek some good godly advice from these men that have been there. It's impossible to replace experience. But yet these young people who were arrogant, they spoke in a whole different way, totally different counsel. Instead of being a servant to them, you be a dictator to them. You be a lord over them. You tell them how they're going to do things, and you tell them when they're going to tie their shoes and when to jump, and not only when to jump, but how high to jump. Listen, this counsel from the young men was very arrogant. Who cares about the old men's counsel? They don't know what they're talking about. They don't have a clue. The people need a dictator. Preachers, your people don't need a dictator. They need a pastor who's going to love them. They need a shepherd. Going to care for a sheep.
Yes.
That shepherd loses one sheep. What's the shepherd do? He goes out and finds that one sheep. Listen, he loves that one sheep. He'd do anything for him. He'd give his life for that one sheep. We need to be shepherds. We need to love our people and treat them right. The counsel here we find out that was rejected was the counsel of the wise men. Rehoboam just totally ignores it and rejects the counsel and goes a whole different route. He decides to go with the crowd. Don't go with the crowd. Preachers, let me warn you, don't go with the crowd.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The crowd's going with rock and roll concerts. The crowd's going with turning away from this book because it's easier to understand other perversions. That ain't true. Danny and I have done some research, and I know we've got men in here. You've done the same thing. The truth of the matter is they'll take out King James words that are pretty easy to understand and they'll put in their own word that we don't have a clue what it means. Or they'll just happen to do this to us. They'll take the verse entirely out. Poor counsel. Listen, you follow the old ways. Follow the old paths. Stick to them. Listen, I'm not very old, but I ain't going that way. I don't want to go that way. I want to stand on this book. If there's anything I can stand on, it's this book. I'm thankful for it. But he forsook that wise counsel. He goes with the crowd. Can I tell you, we live in a generation where people just go with the crowd, go with the flow. It's all right. I don't understand it. You see it in your churches today. where parents let their children do the exact same thing that the world does. Parents let them look like the world. They let them act like the world. And God forbid, they let them dress like the world. I don't understand it. Good godly men let their daughters dress like the world. They've forsaken some good counsel in their lives. They forsook that good counsel. Wise counsel. And they've let their children go with the world. We live in a day and age where children think their parents and their grandparents are fuddy-duddies. Don't want anything to do with them. My grandparents or my parents don't know anything. They don't understand me. They don't know what I go through. Listen, they've been there. Can I let you in a little bitty piece of advice? I graduated in 1996 from high school. I realize we live in a different day. We live in a little bit different age. It's 2010. I think it's 2000. Is that right? 2010. Something like that. So it's been what? How many years? 14 years since I've been out of high school. But can I let you in on a little piece of advice? A little. There was drugs in my school when I was in school. There were dirty movies in my school. There were kids with foul mouths in my school. See, it's a little bit more today because there's more of it. It's more prevalent, but it was there then.
Yeah.
Listen, can I let you in on a piece of advice? When your parents were in school, there were drugs in school.
Yeah.
Just maybe wasn't quite as popular as it is today.
Right.
Everything's going on. Then. They've been there. They've done that. When parents tell you something, when they say, don't go this direction or go this direction, they know. They've been there. They know. When a preacher will tell you, don't go down that road, maybe he's just been there. Maybe he just doesn't want you to go there. Listen, he forsakes this wise counsel. Even though they've been there, many of us have learned the hard way. We've forsaken that wise counsel as well. But yet, then we find out this counsel that was received. The counsel that was received was the counsel of this foolish counsel. This foolish counsel from the young men that he grew up with. He went away from experience. He went away from knowledge. And he went his own way. He gave in to his peers who, by the way, were wrong. He should have went with the wise counsel. He should have listened to the older folks. They've been there. They've done that. They served under Solomon. They served and they understood when David was king. And they understood and learned from those wise rulers and leaders. But he forsook these counsels. We must be very careful here this afternoon not to forsake wise counsel. Young people, listen to me. Counsel, get it. Before you get married, before you make that proposal, you better get some counsel.
Yes. Amen.
You better make sure you find the right one.
Right.
You better make sure. Preachers, encourage your young people. Encourage them. Find the right one. Yeah. Just warn them when you know they have. And I'm not saying that to be mean or to be rude, but listen, I've seen people, young people, good godly people, who ruined their lives because they got involved with the wrong person. And they forsook wise counsel. Don't go out with that one. Don't listen to that one. Don't spend time with them. And they forsake it. But we as preachers sometimes we don't take good counsel either. And we need to make sure that we're doing that. I share just for a moment the truth of the counsel that was received. This counsel that was received was ungodly counsel. The counsel that was rejected was godly counsel. Counsel that would have led them in the right direction. So why'd you pick this portion of Scripture? The reason I picked it is because the counsel that was received and the counsel that was rejected is not what bothers me. What bothers me is the counsel that they failed to remember. There's counsel they left out. Yeah, Rehoboam sought the wise men. And it was good counsel. And probably most every one of us in here would say he should have went with the wise counsel. What about God? What about God? You can't tell me Rehoboam didn't see his dad go to God.
Yeah, right.
I realize Solomon got away from the Lord. We all know that. This never one time went to God. Sometimes we as preachers, we'll be the first ones to call up Brother so-and-so.
Right.
What do I do, preacher? What about our hands and knees? God, what do you want me to do? There's nothing wrong with wise counsel. There's nothing wrong with calling so-and-so, but don't forsake God first.
Right.
Remember God's counsel. Remember looking to Him. Not one time does King Rehoboam ask God for anything. And we know what happened to King Rehoboam. We know where he ends up. We know the scriptures here in just a few chapters where the Bible says King Shishak comes in and takes all the gold and takes the things out of the temple, and Rehoboam settles for second best. And he replaces it with brass. And I don't think it's ironic that the next verse or so says there were sodomites in the land in those days. There's a reason. He forsook godly counsel. In fact, he forsook God. Wanted nothing to do with him, and his kingdom, his ministry, if you will, was destroyed because of it. Folks, if you and I aren't careful, we'll forsake godly counsel. We'll forsake God Himself and try to do it on our own, or we'll try to, well, within our own power, or within the power of somebody else's intelligence. Thank God for some intelligent, wise men in here today. But there's still one that's wiser than all of us put together. And it's God. Don't forget to remember God. The counsel they failed to remember was the Lord. What a great mistake He made. In reality, how often do we make the same mistake? We forget God. We want to have revival in our lives, but we don't want to bring God into it. Whoa! How do you have revival? You get on your hands and knees. It starts right here, does it not? But yet, we'll seek somebody else's advice. Hey, preacher, what's the best thing to do for revival? Well, this is what works for me. Okay, we'll do it. Instead of, hey, God, what do you want us to do at Southside Baptist Church? I'm not Pastor McLean. I'm not Pastor Alquist. I'm not Brother Cole. What's God have for me? Listen, we need to work together. There's no question about that. We can just stick together. And there's times where sometimes you might have to come in and say, hey, you might have to give me a call and say, hey, Brother Brindley, I've heard something. Can I help you, or can I point you in the right direction? Sometimes that might need to happen. But yeah, we need to seek God. God, what would you have me to do? Where do you want me to go? Even simple things as, Lord, where do you want us to go on visitation today? We had an opportunity a few weeks ago to lead a couple people to the Lord. Actually, three young people to the Lord, and in their home. Doesn't happen very often when somebody finally invites you in and says, come on in. And they were looking for something. They were searching. They needed Jesus Christ. They needed the gospel. And I'm thankful to have an opportunity, Brother Danny and I, to go and to share the gospel with them. But as I went, I'll be honest with you, that morning I was a little bit tired. I could have stayed at home. I had some things I had to do. I had some things I had to catch up on. I had to get ready for Sunday morning. I could have easily just said, hey, why don't you just go out and take a couple other guys and I'll just stay at home. Maybe we all could have done that. Just said, hey, let's just forget Great Commission this week. We'll just stay right where we're at. But the truth of the matter is I could have stayed where I was at, but would those three people have gotten saved? I had the opportunity to lead those three people to the Lord, and I walked out the door. And as I walked out the door, my heart broke. I say, well, why? The first thing that came to my mind that day was, what if the Jehovah's Witnesses would have gotten there first? You know what the people told me when I left? They said, we just can't believe you came today because we've been hoping that somebody would come to our door. Somebody would tell us what we needed. Somebody would show us. Somebody would point us to Jesus Christ. See, we went. They got saved. Folks, what happens? When we leave God out of those things, we go do our own thing. Maybe we were supposed to be on somebody's doorstep that day. Maybe somebody would have received Christ that day. And folks, it scares me to no end to think that they might get there first. And they just might follow them. A false cult, false doctrine, false beliefs, and lead them straight to a place called hell. We need to have God in our lives. We need to seek His counsel first. What about our families? What about our churches? Listen, Pastor, if you've got a family, you've got children, you've got a responsibility to them. Teach them the ways of God. At your table, like the Bible says there, I believe it's back in Deuteronomy, I think it is, where it talks about, listen, we speak of the things of the Lord at the table, the dinner table, wherever we're at. Speak of those things. Our children know that they need to seek God's counsel first. They need to seek Him. Look to Him. Our families. Boy, how many preachers' families have we seen their children out in the world? Talk about break my heart. Scares me to death. I have five of them. I have five of them that I don't want the devil getting any ounce of any of them. How am I going to keep them from that? Well, I can't keep them from everything, but I better teach them some things. I better teach them that daddy gets down on his knees and prays to God. I was sharing with people on Sunday. You know, there's a song out there. It's been an old song. I don't even know. Maybe you've never heard of it. But this song says, I pray to grandma's God. I hope you pray to your God. You see, I hope you know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior. And you pray to Him and you seek Him. That's the counsel we need. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, for you and I as preachers today, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His blood. How are we going to know how to feed them unless we seek God first? How are we going to know what to share with them? God forbid we go into services and into messages and we never ask God one time what He wanted us to preach. We just make up something that sounds good. We just put a few points together and a poem and go at it. God forbid we never seek Him first. God, what do my people need? What do my people need? Sometimes I'll be honest with you, I don't have a clue what my people need. But God knows everything that they need. God knows exactly what they need for each Sunday morning, for each Sunday night, for each Sunday school service, for each Wednesday night. He knows exactly what they need. Boy, and unfortunately, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll seek bad counsel. What happens when we seek bad counsel? We live to regret it, do we not? We live to regret it. Turn to Psalm 33. I'm going to give you a few verses and I'm done. I know I need to be done here. Psalm 33. Verses 10 through 12. Just give you a few verses to encourage you. As preachers, if we want revival in our lives today, as evangelists, as men and women, as children, if we want revival, we're going to have to go to God and seek Him. Seek wise, godly counsel. God, what is it you'd have for my life? What is your will for my life? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? We need to seek the Lord. Seek wise counsel. Don't be like Rehoboam and reject God's counsel. Look to Him. Look to Him. Say, well, what about me, preacher? I'm a counselor. They need to come to me. Can I tell you this? If you're not getting your counseling advice from God, you're in trouble. Say, well, I got this book in my study. Praise God for books, but this better be the first book you got. How do I counsel my people? How do I counsel my family? Right here. Right here. There's nothing wrong with other good advice. I'm not saying that. But listen, this is where it starts. This isn't second place. Well, I'm going to go to Dr. So-and-so first and find out what I'm supposed to say. No, I'm going to go to the Lord first. I'm going to find what He says. And then I'm going to find some more information if I can along the way and let God speak to me. I'm going to call some other pastors. Hey, I got this situation in my life, in my church. What am I supposed to do? Psalm 33, verse 10, the Bible says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. I'm going to tell you what, these Dr. Phils and people out there, listen, their counsel is worthless. Because they're not giving godly counsel. It's not coming from this book. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Forever and ever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Listen, God's counsel stands forever. When He tells you to do something, when He tells you what direction to go, it'll stand. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Preachers, seek the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Listen, we need to seek God as preachers. We don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I don't care what Bible college you went to. Thank God for Bible colleges. God uses Bible colleges and does amazing things and teaches us amazing things and wonderful things in Bible college. But listen, we need to get our advice from here. And they better be getting their advice from here. How do you teach a preacher? Brother Stubich, how do you teach or how do you train somebody? From right here. This is where we get it. This is where we get our advice. It's where we get our understanding. This is where we get our knowledge. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. If you would, the Bible says here in James chapter 1, turn to James chapter 1. You know these verses, James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's wise counsel. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Preachers, we need to have some faith in God. We need to have a great faith in God. Just believe. God will give us the answers. Whatever struggle you may go, you may be dealing with a family in your church right now. You don't know what to do. God will give you the answers. You need to believe that He'll give you the answers, though. Trust Him. Have faith in Him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Turn to some of my favorite verses. 1 Chronicles chapter 7. 1 Chronicles chapter 7, and I believe this is the key, one of the greatest keys to revival for you and I. We're going to have to seek some wise counsel. 1 Chronicles. Actually, I take that back. It's 2 Chronicles. You know where I'm at. Everybody else is telling me where it's at. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If my people, if, but only if, aren't you glad you're one of the family of God? We can all say amen, right? Amen. We ought to get excited about that. Get excited about the fact that we can be called the people of God. I'll be honest with you, I don't belong. I shouldn't belong. I don't deserve to belong to the family of God. There's nothing I've done in my life to cause me to deserve what I have today. There's nothing I did to allow me to deserve to be saved, to have a free pardon of sin. I did what I did in my life deserved a place called hell. But because Jesus Christ loved me so much, He died on the cross of Calvary for me. Listen, I can be called one of the people of God. And Jesus says this, or God says this, if my people which are called by my name. We throw the word Christian around a lot, don't we? The name Christian. It's a name we ought to hold up high. We can be called a Christian. Listen, a lot of people out there, I'm a Christian. Phooey. Do you know the Lord is your personal Savior? No. You ain't no Christian. Listen, I'm a Christian. Are you living for the Lord? No. Well, it's hard to call somebody a Christian when they're not living for God. Be Christ-like. Live like Him. Walk in His steps. Walk in His footprints. He's given them to us. Listen, we need to be Christians. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek godly counsel. Doesn't say that, but it says seek my face. That's what he means. Seek me. If you'll just learn to humble yourselves and pray and seek me. Preachers, we get busy sometimes, don't we? I know the world thinks we don't work. I let them have their fun. Sometimes, I'm going to tell you, we get so busy, caught up in everything, caught up in anniversaries and church anniversaries and fellowships and get caught up in families and people in the hospital and all these things, funerals and weddings and all these things we can get caught up in. And we forget God. Hey, I got to be somewhere at 6 o'clock this morning. I got to get out of bed. I got to be up early. What about the wise counsel you need? What about the wise counsel we need? What about getting on our hands and knees and praying and seeking an almighty God who says this? He says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. God forbid that any of us preachers had some wicked ways. Am I the only one? Maybe I should get out this morning. I'm a human being. I make mistakes. Unfortunately, I look at things I shouldn't look at sometimes. I see things I don't want to see. Believe it or not, sometimes some of our people frustrate us enough, we'd kind of like to punch them in the nose. God forgive me. At least I have some people. They may not be perfect. Maybe they do some strange things, like walking into women's bathroom. Oh, never mind. I got to tell a story. We were in Columbus. We went to Columbus, Ohio for a youth rally. And I just so happened to be from close to Columbus, Ohio, and still have a home back there, and my parents and everybody's there. And so I took Brother Danny, he's our youth leader right now, and a couple of our teenagers to my favorite place to eat back home. Just so happens to be a pizza buffet. I had to stay away from it, though, because I'm trying to lose weight, so kind of a bummer. But I took them there, and Danny was with us, and he just so happened to have to go to the bathroom. And he went in the bathroom, and I just so happened to turn around when he went in the bathroom, and I went, Dan! Uh-oh. He just went in the women's bathroom. And I looked at the guys, I said, you're not going to believe this, I said, but Danny's in the women's bathroom. And they go, no, he's not. I said, yeah, yes. I knocked on the door, and nobody answered. I wanted to get him out of there, but I couldn't. He was in the women's bathroom. So some of our people do some strange things. All right, I don't know where I went that rabbit trail, but All right. They do some strange things, and sometimes we get frustrated with them. We still have people. We need to seek God. Lord, how do I deal with that person? He's awful strange. What do I do? Man, the way he talks, the things he does, the things he says, Lord, what do I do? Seek God. Seek His counsel. He'll show you what to do. If we just learn to forsake our sin and get away from those things. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Listen, God's counsel is what we need. Don't forsake it. Don't forsake His counsel. I'm not talking about you can't get together with other preachers and fellowship and say, what would you do here? But seek God first. Seek Him first. Don't do like Rehoboam. Don't neglect the wise counsel and receive foolish counsel. Don't take whatever you think, hey, that's what my friend would want me to do, so I'm going to do it. No. Seek God. Seek His counsel and His wisdom. Men and ladies and children here this afternoon, where are we getting our counsel from? Preachers, where are you getting your counsel from? I hope it's coming from this book. There's no better counsel that we can get. No better counsel we can receive. Don't reject this counsel. Don't reject this book. What do I do? What do I do in this situation? What do I do in that situation? Go to God and find out. And He'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. And that light bulb will go off in your head and say, I didn't know that. But now I do, because I got the right counsel. If we want to have revival, we're going to have to get on our hands and knees and ask God for it. I'll be the first one to tell you that's where I need to be. I need to be on my hands and knees. I need more prayer time. Sometimes our schedules get so full. When you have 5 kids at home and you're trying to help, sometimes our schedules are so full that we need to make time to seek God. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time. Father, we thank You for the counsel that You give us each and every day. Father, when we get counsel from You, we get the right counsel. But Lord, we also thank You for good, godly, wise men and women, Father, that have good counsel to give us. We pray, Lord, that You'd help us as preachers to stand upon good, godly, wise counsel. to live upon this word. And Father, we pray for revival in our churches. I pray for revival here, Brother Cole's church. Father, I pray for revival in our church back in Southside Baptist Church in Erie. And Father, I pray for each and every one of these preachers. We'd get on our hands and knees, and Father, we would see revival happen in our churches. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you do. We'll give you the praise for it. May we learn, Lord, to turn from our wicked ways. Seek you. Lord, we know that you'll heal our land, heal our churches, and heal our people, Father. We love you. We thank you for this opportunity today. In Jesus' name.